Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. We're going to read verses 19 through 31 from Luke chapter 16 this morning. I will read aloud as you read silently. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of God's Word as we read the Word of God together. Luke chapter 16, and beginning at verse 19. And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they that would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray together, please. Father, thank you for the word of God and this somber warning about a place called hell. Thank you for your goodness to us and warning us of it so that no one would have to go there. Thank you for sending Jesus to provide the payment so that we would not have to go there. Now, God, I do ask, as Pastor Johnson comes this morning, you'd anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for the task of preaching to us and helping us from this passage. We ask, Father, as we do every Sunday morning, that if there's one in this room that does not know for sure they're going to heaven, that they would settle that today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
Hold on a minute. All right, never mind. We'll do without it, and I'll just yell a lot. Do that whether I have one or not, so it doesn't make any difference. The subject this morning is very serious, and I want you to sit still and listen very carefully now. Please, please, make sure your cell phones are vibrate. Turn the vibrator off for me. If your cell phone goes off during the service, someone will come out of that room with a two-edged sword and split you right down the middle like a piece of cordwood, and we'd hate to see that happen in the church. So help us with that, if you would, please. And I'm going to ask you now to sit still, not get up and go out of the room unless you absolutely have to with medical reasons, or if you have a child who fusses and you want to take them out, that's fine. Go ahead, bring it up here, guys. We ain't fancy. We'll just fix this. I have a hard time standing in one place. That way, if anybody starts shooting at me, I got a moving target, and at least we're good to go. The The subject this morning is the subject of hell. Hell is not a cuss word. One of the reasons I believe it has become such a common use of profanity today is to desensitize us to this place called hell. 14 sermons Jesus preached on life after death. 13 of them were about hell. This is Jesus talking here in Luke chapter 16. Now let's be clear about this right now. This is a place. It is not a condition. It is not an ethereal existence. This is a place. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, it is a place prepared by God for the devil and his angels. But the Bible says it is a place. Now listen carefully. We know what hell is and what it is not. Number one, hell is not the grave. Would you look, please, in Luke chapter 16. It says there in verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, verse 23, and in hell. Burial, hell, two different places. So we know that hell is not the grave. We know that this is not a dispensational truth or teaching that Christ gave. Well, this is really about Israel and it's just about... No. We know it's not a parable. Parables never have proper names in them. And there are two proper names used here, Lazarus and Abraham. We know this is not annihilation of the soul. Four times it talks about how that this man who died was buried and then in hell lifted up his eyes. Four times it said he was in torment. He experienced the pain and the suffering of fire, separation, memory, thirst. That's not annihilation. Jesus told us about two men who died on the same day. One happened to be a beggar, the other happened to be a rich man. Those two men lived 2,000 years ago, and those two men exist the moment that I speak to you today. Today, they are still in existence. That beggar Lazarus is still in the bosom of Abraham. The rich man is still in hell 2,000 years later. Now, I'm sorry. Bob Jones Sr. said, and there's nothing wrong with America that 6 months of preaching a hot hell couldn't fix. We have massaged our egos so much in our churches today and candy-coated the gospel so much that I am afraid we've taken the fear of the real place of hell out of people's thinking. See, Pastor Johnson, so what you're trying to tell me is you're one of them hellfire and brimstone preachers. Yes, yes, 10,000 times yes, but not because I'm glad anybody's going there. Not because I'm glad that there's a horrible place like this. But for the same reason, Jesus preached 13 sermons about hell and preached more about it than he did about heaven, was so people wouldn't have to go there. You can't, ladies and gentlemen, when we as a nation or as churches, when we remove hell from our preaching, our teaching, and more importantly, from our thinking and our living, we have removed one of the great motivators that God put before us. He put hell there for the devil and his angels. But every lost person who dies without Christ as their Savior will go to a place called hell. And it's a real place. And when you're there forever. And there's no going back and forth. There is no purgatory. As the rich man looked up into heaven and saw Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom, he said, send Lazarus over here just for a drop of water on my tongue because I'm so tormented in this fire. And Abraham said, son, there's a great gulf fixed between us. There's a chasm. There's a distance between heaven and hell. He says, no one on this side can go over there, and no one on your side can come over here, and there is nothing in between. So when we die, there is heaven and there is hell. That's all there is. Now that's from the authority of Jesus Christ, who told us about two men who lived and died on the same day, and that's where they are today. See, I would much prefer this morning to tell you about heaven. I would much prefer to preach about heaven today. That is my favorite subject when it comes to the eternal life and life after death is heaven. But see, Jesus spent more time on hell than he did on heaven, even in this account. But now I want you to listen this morning, and I want you to listen for yourself, because I'm going to talk to you today about how does someone wind up in hell. Think about it. 2,000 years later, this man is still trying to find somebody to put a drop of water on his tongue to give him some relief. My God would not put people in hell. Pastor Johnson, then you've got the wrong God this morning. This insanity that is sweeping our nation, where we invent God and we create God and we create the God that's palatable to us, isn't going to help you when you face the God of the Bible. He made us, we don't make Him. He is our Creator, we do not create Him. We must accept what He says. If He says there's a place called hell, there is a place called hell. It is not a cuss word. It is a place where people go to spend forever. But what in the world does someone do to wind up in hell? Verse number 19. First of all, it could be anybody. Do you ever wonder why the beggar's name is there, but not the rich man? What does it say in verse number 19? There was a certain man. Nondescript. Why? Because he wanted you to understand that could be anybody. Could be anyone. Hell plays no favorites. There are no exclusions and there are no exceptions in hell. And I want you to notice that as we read those verses this morning, did you see the horrible, debauched life that this man lived? Why he was a pervert. He was a murderer. He was a thief. He was a liar. Oh, my soul, this man. There was a certain rich man who wore purple and fared sumptuously, and he died. What sin did this man commit? We think, well, hell is for people who just do horrible things in their life. Name a horrible thing the man did. It seems he had no compassion for the beggar Lazarus. So is that it? No compassion, you wind up in hell? No, he's trying to show us anybody could wind up in hell. Anybody, any stage, any era, any situation, any station in life, poor, rich, doesn't make any difference. He chose a rich man not to pick on those with means, but to show us that it could be anybody down the line, up the line, across the path, no matter what side of tracks you're on, friend, it could be any man. There was a certain man who died one day, and that man wound up in hell. To let us know it could be anybody this morning. So what I want you to do today is to be very careful to not exclude yourself from this thing. Not, can't be me, Pastor Johnson. I'm not that bad a person. There was a certain man who wound up in hell. Tell me what this guy did that was so awful. Tell me what his great sin was. Tell me what was his crime against society. Tell me what did he do with his life that was so awful that God sent him to hell. There was a certain man. You know how somebody winds up in hell? Could be anybody. Number two, somebody winds up in hell because they settle for this life. That statement in verse 19, where it says that he clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Look at me. Every day he had the best this life could afford him. Look at me. And every day, that was good enough for him. It was good enough for him. Look at me. He settled for this life. As long as there's peace and safety in my days, Hezekiah said. I've got enough food, I've got enough this, I've got enough that, and after all, I don't really care, Pastor Johnson. It doesn't make any difference. This life is good enough for me. Heard a man the other day say, oh, so-and-so, he's dead, but that's all right. Nobody can hear. I'm talking about it, but he can't hear me because he's dead and they're gone. You know, it's amazing how foolish people are to think they're going to risk their forever on a temporary life here. Because the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. I have 20/10 vision with glasses on. Am I now blind just because I've covered my eyes? There is no life after death. So now it's not there. Doesn't make any difference what you think and what I think. The truth of the matter is the authority of God's word and the authority of Jesus Christ, the creator of everything, says there is life after death. And he said there's heaven and there's hell.
And if we settle in for this life, if in this life only, we have hope in Christ. The Bible says we are of all men most miserable. We get content in this life with our religion. We get content in this life with our job. We get content in this life with the life that we have. And we don't care about the next life. It doesn't make any difference to us. That would be fine except for one thing. There is life after death. There is eternity. There is heaven. There is hell. God said so. Jesus told us that so we would know that. But the rich man was just content with what he was wearing and getting food every day, and that was okay with him. Our world today is infected with the here and now, and don't give a flip about the hereafter. Doesn't make any difference that there's a God to face, that we have to answer to him one day. And look here, we can settle in on this life if you want to. Some of you right now, you're not even listening to what I am telling you. You're thinking about what you're going to do this afternoon. You're thinking about your week. You're wondering who's texting you right now. You're thinking about your job. You're thinking about your bank account. You're thinking about your life. You're so caught up in this life that this preacher up here this morning is loving you enough to tell you there is life after death. There is a God who loves you and he wants you to go to heaven. And he sent his son Jesus so you could. If you will trust Christ as your Savior, you will go to heaven. The beggar did not go to heaven because he was poor, and the rich man did not go to hell because he was rich. But we cannot just settle for this life and think that this is all that there is. Well, that's all I can see, Pastor Johnson. No, friend, look at me. You have faith in so many different things in your life, and you have no hesitation with that. Why won't you accept the authority of God's Word? And why do we get so involved in this life that that's all there is? The problem is, this is not all there is. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. I am so glad that that's the case. You look at me this morning. Look at me. You're looking at one very happy camper today. I'm enjoying my life now more than I have ever enjoyed my life. I'm a blessed man. I'm a happy man. I'm a contented man. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content, the Bible says. I pillowed my head last night very tired and went to sleep and slept well last night. After about 4 or 5 hours of sleep, God stirred and moved me. And I got up this morning early to pray and prepare and to get ready for today. I'll be tired at the end of tonight. I'll be tired on Monday and Tuesday and all the rest of these weeks. I've got things to do and my life is busy. And I'm a happy man this morning, ladies and gentlemen. I don't understand this thing about how life has got us so infatuated. We've got to have this life, but this is not all that there is. This life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. People wind up in hell because they settle for this life. Oh, by the way, people wind up in hell and they can be religious. Did you see what he did? Look down a few more verses now. And look at verse number 22. And it came to pass the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, who are you? No. The rich man in hell said, Father Abraham. How do you know he was Abraham? This is a religious man. This guy's got some kind of Bible training, some kind of instruction from the Word of God. Didn't say Abraham had a name tag. He looked up there and saw Abraham. He said, Father Abraham. So he didn't just call him by his name. He called him by the heritage of his faith. That's what the Jews called Abraham, Father Abraham. So this guy's got some religious training. This guy's as religious as they come. And he's in hell. Well, Pastor Johnson, that can't happen to me. Phew, no way possible. I mean, come on, I go to church. I'm in church this morning. I believe in God. I believe the Bible. I believe in Jesus. I believe in heaven. I believe in hell. This man, if you keep reading down through this, you'll find this guy's got enough religious instruction to know what he believes, why he believes it. He knows where he is. He knows what's going on. He knows what needs to be done. This is a religious man in hell. He appears to be moral. He appears to be religious. But he is certainly in hell. Revelation 21 and verse 8 lists the names of types of 8 different people who wind up in hell. The first 2 are fearful and unbelieving. Then he starts talking about murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars. He starts listening to some pretty nasty people among that crowd of eight folks, but the top two are fearful and unbelieving. Now, here's what it means. In hell, among the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, among those who are in hell are two groups of people who were just afraid to trust Christ because of what they thought it would cost them, or they refused to believe because they wouldn't turn loose of their religion and trust Christ by faith. Look at me. They wanted to do it their way instead of God's way. So they wouldn't just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. They wouldn't just trust Christ. And those two are listed first before you get to the nasty crowd, that wicked, awful crowd. Ladies and gentlemen, religious people will be probably the largest population in hell. Religion will keep you out of jail, but it won't keep you out of hell. By the way, would you notice he sees Abraham, he sees Lazarus, he sees paradise. He does not see God. He does not see God. See, look at me. Until you are saved, the Bible says, the wrath of God abideth on you, and there is a break of the fellowship and relationship you need to have with God. There's a break there. It's not there. Well, see, I happen to have a spiritual life, Pastor Johnson. I happen to be a spiritual person, Pastor Johnson. You see, I have my own thing with God, you see. And here's a man who had his own thing with God, too. Looks up into heaven, doesn't even see God. He's in the next life, and the wrath of God still abideth on him, John 3:36. He is still separated from God. So look at me this morning. Do not for 5 seconds think that your spiritual condition and your relationship with God you have determined will give you a standing with God. God did not send His Son Jesus Christ to die for us so we could make our own way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You go the God way or you don't go. That's just all there is to it. Well, that's very exclusive, Pastor Johnson. Take it up with God. Don't fuss with me about it. Take it up with God. Yeah, but what about the Muslims? And what about the Hindus? And what about the Jews? And what about all these other religions? You take it up with God. God said there's one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. God said that. But it's all right. If you sent your son to die for mankind and they rejected him, you'd send them to hell too without even batting an eye. God does not do it out of revenge. God does it out of consequence to sin and payment because he's already made the way to miss hell. And he made it through his son. See, here's what we think. We think, well, that's not fair. It's a narrow gate and straight way that leadeth unto life. But it should be bigger than that. So more people could come. No, that's what creates all the confusion. Well, there's the Hindu way, and there's the Muslim way, and there's the Jewish way, and there's the Catholic way, and there's the Baptist way, and there's the Protestant way, and there's the religious way, and then there's the pagan way, and then there's the heathen way, and there's all these different ways. And after all roads lead to Rome. Well, I've been to Rome, and a lot of roads will lead you to Rome, but one road leads you to heaven, and that road is Jesus Christ. Now, God did it to make it simple for us, not to exclude anybody, but to tell them, okay, let's make it clear. There's one way to get there, and that way is Jesus Christ. See, that just made it simple for everybody. So you come to Christ, you go, hey, this guy's religious. My soul, a religious man in hell. Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done mighty works in your name and cast out devils in your name and prophesied in your name? And Jesus will say unto these godly religious people, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. How does somebody wind up in hell? They could be religious. How does someone wind up in hell? Look at verse 24, please. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So, well, preacher, if you were thirsty like that, you'd want a drink of water. Would you make somebody leave heaven and come to hell for that? Would you? Would you want to make somebody leave heaven, come to the fires of hell just to drop a little water on your tongue? Would you? See, and he'll got to talking about his brothers in just a moment here, but first thing he thinks about is me, the big me. He's a self-centered person. It's about me. You know what? Get that beggar guy down here again. And you know, he laid out in my gate and the dogs licked his sores and he fought, dug to the trash can for something. You send him down here to in the fire for a minute. And just give me a drop. Just a drop of water. He doesn't even care. He is a self-centered individual. See, selfishness, ladies and gentlemen, not only creates in us a selfish attitude and a me first, you last, I get what I want. It creates in us this idea that I'll do what I want with my life. Not you or 10 people who look just like you are going to tell me what to do. Hey, look at me, pal. That's not brave. That's foolish. But it's self-centered, isn't it? Selfishness won't be the main reason that people go to hell, but it will be part of it. They only think of what it will mean to them or for them, or they'll reject Christ because of what it costs them. Well, if I trust Christ and get saved, I mean, what's my grandmother going to think about my choice of religions? God's not asking you to choose a religion. He's asking you to trust Christ. And that's got nothing to do with my religion, your religion, or anybody else's religion. It has everything to do with the fact that God loves you and Christ died for you. And you need to trust Christ as your Savior. But don't get hung up on the selfish point of it all. You mean to tell me a person would actually pass up the wonderful, simplistic opportunity of salvation? Because they're afraid if they get saved, they're going to have to quit drinking or drugging or being immoral. You got to be kidding me. Is that the height of selfishness? We would look at me. They would prefer their sin over salvation. But I'm afraid that's the so in many cases. This guy doesn't even care that that poor beggar has finally found peace. He wants him to come to hell and give him a drink of water. How does somebody wind up in hell? Please listen to the last point this morning. Because they resist the word of God. Look at verse 28 and follow this very carefully now in your Bibles. And he's speaking to Abraham, and the rich man says, verse 28, I have five brethren, and that he may testify unto them, lest they come also into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Look at me. That's this book right here, the Bible. He says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Verse 30, oh, I understand. I see it now. What is he doing? He's arguing in hell. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He's still resisting the work of God. He's still resisting the word of God, and the man is in hell. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look at me this morning. In a few minutes, we're going to give you an invitation time to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today if you're not saved. And we love you, and we want you to settle that thing today. I don't care if you're a member of Shasta Baptist Church. As I put this message together, I began to weep and think to myself, oh God, you know my greatest fear as a pastor, it's not the economy, it's not the unknown, it's pastoring people who wind up in hell. But don't worry, preacher, everything will be all right. Jesus had 12 who went with him, and one of them wound up in hell. And they sit at the feet of the greatest man of God and preacher ever walked this earth. I fear pastoring people who are going to wind up in hell. I'm not trying to make you shake your faith this morning. You can't shake what's founded on the Word of God and based on what's right. But hear me this morning. You can't resist the work of God and not wind up in hell. This guy's in hell arguing with God. He's arguing with Abraham. No, Abraham, no. You don't understand. See, if somebody went back from the dead, well, boy, that'd be like a Benny Hinn thing, you know, one of these big miraculous deals. Why that would? He says, no, if they won't listen to the Bible, I can't help them. And nobody can help them. Even in hell, this guy was still resisting God's word. Can I ask you a question this morning? The word of God is very clear about our salvation. And that it is a definite event in our life where we realized we were lost and we trusted Christ as our Savior and we got saved. Apostle Paul had a definite testimony of salvation. Do you? I'm not talking about experience, friend. I don't care what happened. I don't care if you tingled or you didn't feel anything or you were cold as a fish. Do you remember a definite moment in your life where you realized you were lost because of sin and in repentance of faith, you turned to Jesus Christ, trusting Him alone for your salvation? No works, not of works lest any man should boast. No works of salvation and in repentance of faith. You trusted Christ's payment for your salvation. Do you remember that? Do you remember a definite event in your life? You may not remember the day or the date or the time on the calendar, but friend, I was a 9-year-old boy in American Baptist Church, Antioch, California. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. It's done. If that's not there, then the work of God right now is trying to push you today. Yeah, because you preached on here trying to scare everybody, Pastor Johnson. You know, maybe a little fright wouldn't hurt us a bit. How about shaking us out of this thing? Not because, please, please, please. Not because anyone is against you. Not because we're trying to get you to do something that you don't want to do. We're trying to get you to realize, friend, the reality is this. There is heaven, there is hell. You get saved, you go to heaven. You don't, you go to hell. And that's it. Please don't resist the work of God. This guy winds up in hell arguing with Abraham about the Bible. Well, I think if somebody went back from the dead, who gives a flip what you think? What he thinks or anybody else thinks? Well, Pastor Johnson, you have to understand. See, my church doesn't teach that. I don't mean to be unkind to you and your religion. I'm an American. I'm a veteran. I believe defended the rights of people to go to church wherever they want to go to church. But as a Christian and a man of God with a Bible this morning, I'm telling you this. You go to God, through Jesus, or you don't go, period. You do it God's way or you don't go to heaven, period. And if you don't go to heaven, you go to hell when you die, period. God loves you, friend. Please don't resist the work of God this morning. Please don't do it. Please, if the Spirit of God is even nudging your heart for a second about this thing about salvation, settle it today, settle it today, settle it today. Because you see, the answer then is the answer still today. It's Abraham's answer. They have Moses and the prophets. They have the Bible. It tells them what God expects. If they won't listen to that, then nothing will change their minds. You don't need to watch a movie about it. You hear a guy's testimony about some guy who died and he went to hell and he came back and told everybody about it. Please tell me we're not going to turn this thing into a circus. The Bible says it's appointed unto a man once to die and after this the judgment. I'm sorry. I don't care what anybody said. They may have too many onions on their hamburger for the night before they went to bed. I don't care what happened to them. I don't care what their drug-induced state was right as they lay there in a hospital bed and they were full of drugs. I don't care what happened to them. Their experience is not more important than what the Bible says. The Bible says you die, you go to hell if you're not saved. If you're saved, you go right to heaven immediately. Wonderful. That's what the Bible says. If we won't believe the Word of God, nothing will help us. Your dead grandma stood at that door today as you walked out of church and said, there is a place called heaven. Wouldn't change your mind one second if you wouldn't trust God's word by faith now. The answer is the Bible, friend. The answer is God loves you and Christ died for you. Please, today, please be sure you've settled this matter of salvation in your life. Let's stand to our feet, would you?